Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. As always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert, and since it is Friday, we are welcoming in the late-night Gamecock himself, Matt Anderson, who we believe has been checking out some football camps this morning, Matt, right?
I was not able to get out today. I have been out the previous two camp sessions, so we can talk a little about that if you want to. We can go anywhere you want on this Friday.
It's a free-for-all Friday in the McKellar Enterprises chat box.
There we go.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So I'll catch up with some of that because there's a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan says about the coastal Schnall's alma mater. That is his school close to his heart. It would be solely a business decision for him, I believe. I think if the money's right, he will be here, but Coastal's still his school. If he wasn't an alum, it may be a different story. I mean, I don't doubt Kevin Schnall loves Coastal Carolina. Also have no doubt that he's a professional, and there have been plenty of coaches that have gone on to other schools from schools that were at a lower level that were their alma maters. And all of a sudden their names are synonymous with the bigger school. And my understanding is this too. It's such a good opportunity that I don't, you know, you have to look at it sort of like, okay, if this were the men's basketball job and a guy sitting there at a really good mid-major, and that's his alma mater, that's going to be tough. The football job, if somebody's at Group of Five or FCS, it would have to be a tremendous Group of Five job, and they would have to have other options. This baseball job, you guys have to give it a little bit more credit than some are. It's a great baseball job. I mean, it's a little bit more high class in the pecking order for coaches than for baseball coaches than it would be for a search in football or men's basketball. That's nothing against those jobs, but that's just how it is at South Carolina. It's a better job than the women's basketball job.
See, that I was about to
because of how it's set up, and the fact that, you know, three different coaches in the last, you know, 50 something years have played for national championships here. There's to sustain success. It's a great job that has hit hard times, just like a lot of great programs do in other sports, baseball included. So, but Ethan, you make a great point about Coastal being Schnall's alma mater, and, you know, he'd definitely stay there if things don't work out on Carolina's end one way or the other. J-Diz says Kingston and Paul never felt like South Carolina guys. We need to get back to Carolina baseball, playing a free spirit, cocky brand of baseball. I think the program needs toughness. Would you agree?
Grit,
toughness. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask you guys this. Has there ever been a great athletic team in the history of South Carolina sports? We'll stick with four, you know, the big four, that wasn't tough and gritty. I can't think of one.
You have to be.
I don't think there's a team really in any sport across college athletics that hasn't been great and been tough and gritty. I mean, you've had, and then you go back to some of those like Southern Cal teams that just out-talented literally everybody. But those Alabama teams under Saban were tough and gritty, and it would knock your head off.
I've seen it in basketball. I mean, I don't necessarily know that some of the Vanderbilt teams that may have won baseball titles, some of the baseball teams were necessarily that tough and gritty, but it is important. I mean, you have to have some kind of toughness to win, mental toughness, right?
Well, unless you're just extremely talented. Like if you can just go out there and throw it and roll the ball out on the baseball field, roll the football on the field, basketball court, whatever. I mean, I've seen church league basketball teams, JC, to go back to your stomping ground that, didn't matter. They were going to win by 50. You know what I mean? You can be as tough as you wanted, but eventually there's going to be an off night. And on that off night, if you don't have it, it'll show. And You know, sometimes you can get away with it for an entire season, but you can't do it year after year after year. For
I'll give you a football national. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have called Ohio State's team tough and gritty.
No.
Like, yeah, but they were so good. They
flipped a switch, yeah. Mm-hmm. But at South Carolina, even the most talent, even Dawn Staley's really good teams that won titles, then they're great defensively, or they're great at rebounding, the little things, you know. It's you know, Tanner's great baseball teams were gritty and tough. Look, any kind of great football team, Carolina's had's always been good on defense.
I see Blake's comment here. You're talking about Ole Miss and Kiffin last year. There's something about like an offense getting back on the field drive after drive and saying, we're just going to outscore them. Like, we're going to put the team on it. But that shows some toughness. That shows some mentality that we know what we have to do. But I think the gritty is the key there, JC. You know, like, can you grind through something? And yeah. I mean, you know, you can win all kinds of different ways, but I'll take the grinding team that has talent over just the talented team any day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you can have both. I'm just saying, you know, if you talk about the Gamecocks, that's kind of the DNA of anything that's worked around here. And it fits with the mascot and kind of who, you know, what the University of South Carolina is. Dexter asked if I saw the video of Ronald McDonald singing the national anthem at a baseball game. Is that out there?
I didn't realize that either.
Check it out. Okay, West Virginia's up 3-0 already. Gamecock Garrett says he wants Forbes or Saban. He's got a gut feeling Schnall can't get it done here. Made it to the finals last year, but those were Gilmore's leftovers, just my honest opinion. Some people feel that way because we're not dealing with – I mean, Steve Saban's doesn't have but 2 years head coaching experience either, in fairness, but you're not dealing with a long track record of being a head coach. That said, he's part of the Gary Gilmore success there, and Gilmore leaves sometimes. I mean, look at what's happened at Tennessee and A&M since Schlossnagel left and Vitello left in baseball. They've both taken a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they played for the national championship 2 years ago, but that didn't happen with Schnall. They actually went up.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying you're wrong, Garrett. I mean, there's no wrong opinions. You know, you have any concerns?
Well, JC, think about this too. You know, like Forbes at North Carolina, been in North Carolina for years, took over for the head coach, went back to at least one College World Series, and has the potential to do it again this year. Who's to say Schnall wouldn't do that more at Coastal going forward? You know, just because you have someone else's players, theoretically, you know, what's to say he's not just a great baseball coach? And, you know, I saw somebody ask if Schnall wasn't in the state of South Carolina, would he be this big a name? I think it was Cocky Lids here. And, I mean, there was real smoke and real, you know, gas behind Schnall going to Florida if they made a move from O'Sullivan. So it's not just South Carolina, you know, looking at Kevin Schnall for a potential next job. I mean – I think Schnall, over the next couple of years, if it's not South Carolina, is either going to be a lifer at Coastal or he's going to take a big job somewhere. And if it's South Carolina, we'll see.
And he interviewed Tennessee. I don't know. My question about that is Danny White, and I'd have to look at the – how long – when was Danny White the UCF AD? Because I think maybe they overlapped when Schnall was at UCF, so there was a connection there. Danny White, for those that don't know, is the athletics director at Tennessee. He did interview for Tennessee after Vitello left, and they ended up promoting Elander. So, you know, yeah, I mean, he's well-respected, but, I mean, look, man, there's no wrong answer. All of the guys that are kind of have been discussed, to me, you could make a case for and you can make a case against. There's no Steve Spurrier level hire. I've said from the start, unless Vitello left the Giants all of a sudden and wanted to come back, to me, that would be a no-brainer. That guy's won big for years and proven and great recruiter, great coach. He's in the majors. I mean, you know, there's a reason he got that job. That would be a no-brainer type of hire. But I don't think there is
I think Forbes is the best candidate on paper for everything a Gamecock fan would want. But at the same time, I look at some of these other coaches and, you know, Skylar Meade might have an Omaha on his resume here by the end of this weekend. You know, Steve Saban's might have an Omaha on his resume Four of us might have another one. You know, Kevin Schnall is at the disadvantage where he's no longer playing right now.
Oh, yeah,
so he can't add to his resume this season. But
there was last season, though. I mean,
he's got the pole
position of guys that have advanced. But yeah,
can't add more to your resume. Like Forbes can add another Omaha. Me can add his first. Saban's can add his first. And, you know, eventually all great coaches get there for the first time at some point. And then, you know, a lot of times they find their way back because they've gone through the trenches. They know how to manage a regional, a super regional. You know, most coaches don't win their first trip to Omaha either. You know, you got to fight through it. Ray Tanner didn't win his first trip to Omaha.
Hmm. But Kevin Schnall did.
He didn't win it all, but he got to the finals.
Yeah, you don't win it all, but he did.
Well, I mean, was that Tanner's first trip against Texas? Because he made it to the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And all the way to the finals. Memorable run there for the Gamecocks. I don't know that it's going to get past. I don't even know that it'll get to the point where somebody can add to their resume. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
And I'm not guaranteeing any news today or tomorrow. I'm just, you got to be careful about that because the minute you say it'll be done by 5 o'clock, folks, at 5 o'clock, if it's not done at 5:22, people are like, what's this? Is a disaster. And everybody's just teeing off on people. And, you know, sometimes
well, there's points too, JC. Like you and Mike were talking yesterday, like the Spurrier was a Friday news item. Like you don't see those a lot anymore. Like they don't want to get buried unless they think it's going to get talked about all super regional, right? And South Carolina's hired this, and so you might dump it on a Friday.
Well, there's a difference too between the story leaking and having a press conference and official announcement and stuff like that. So it's not, you know, and whoever the new coach is, if he's not playing, which would be Kevin Schnall at this point. He's got to get in there and get to work. Press conference be – I mean, whoever gets it as soon as they're ready, there's work to be done. There's 20 guys in the portal, right? They don't have a team.
Yeah.
You've got to go recruit your whole team, either out of the portal to come back or you've got to go find them, you know, so
– And remember this, though, too, everybody. Like, whoever the next coach is going to be, the conversations have been had behind the scenes with agents, behind the scenes with South Carolina, in person in some cases. And they already know who their assistant coaches are. They will be ready to rock even without a formal press conference. Like they will start working the phones immediately, scheduling meetings, all of those things.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a difference too between like the story breaking and all that, but I don't know, you know, it gets tricky when coaches are still coaching.
Yeah.
As far as all that goes. And, you know, there's five names out there. I don't believe all five are, you know, I think things would have to take crazy turns for Skylar Meade to get it, for example, for Steve Sabins to re-enter the chat or for Holiday to get it. I think it would have to take some turns. Now, could it? Yes, absolutely. But I think at this point, if you're putting odds on it, the odds would be higher for the other two on the list. But four of the five are still playing, so it gets a little sensitive with the time frame because, you know, any you don't want to there's no Lane Kiffin scenario that should be normal in college sports. And there's certainly with the way in baseball you have what's called the baseball gods. Those exist more so than the football and basketball gods. And you don't do anything to upset them. It'll be like, and I know you two have been to Disney many times, as have I. You know, the scary part, it's not scary, but the dark part of the enchanted tiki room.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's what happens when you mess with the
anger the gods.
Mess there. With the baseball gods. All of a sudden, your slugger gets up at bat, four straight ground balls to the shortstop, and you can't even say why.
All base of a sudden, is loaded, no outs. You don't score a run.
You don't score a run. That's just how it goes. So, as much as baseball people are superstitious and don't want to anger, and always there's a code for that sport. I can't see anybody leaving. Now, could it be known and they stay on a coach team? Absolutely. And I think that you want that. But Garrett says, Miss Sabins ain't coming here. Well, I mean, like, look, they would have to circle back and, you know, make him an offer. Let's just make it clear that it's not. There's been no turning down. I mean, he was, yeah.
Well, I think Will made a great point. I mean, this is coming to a close sooner rather than later. You're not having another month of this. It's just, we want it now. We want it now because we want to talk about it. We want to break it all down and talk to sources and figure out how this thing's going to get turned around. And, you know, the fans just, they want to know who their coach is. And I don't blame them.
Dexter said, I think it's Saban's mean schnall. But I think West Virginia won't let Saban's go. I don't know if there's anything they can do, Dexter. And that's not the order, by the way, bud.
Yeah.
It may be, I don't know. So, all right. I guess we got to get a break.
Yeah. Right.
Go to D's Wings this weekend, folks.
That's right.
And enjoy yourself. Also, don't forget Late Night Gamecock Show, Matt Anderson, Rob Williams coming up Sunday night. You can get that. Chief Sports Network, Chief Sports app here on our YouTube channel as well. The latest on the baseball searches on GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com. You can join up for $1. And also read all of Matt's outstanding analytical football and basketball articles, which every time I read one, I learn something. It's hard for me to learn, but I do have expanded capacity in this gigantic dome of mine. We will be back with the final segment of what's been a crazy, kind of crazy in a good way week. Matt Anderson, Late Night Gamecock, the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert, back to kick you into the weekend after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show here, wrapping up our busy baseball field week as the search continues, hopefully narrowing in on a candidate as we speak. I don't know. I saw reported by Kornblut, I think, Sports Talk Networks. I'm assuming Phil's the one who tweets those things out or posts them on X. But saying that there was a meeting, and JB confirmed this, between the first in-person meeting between Kevin Schnall at Coastal Carolina and the administration here at South Carolina.
Yeah, JB didn't confirm it, dude. JB reported it.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, well, yeah, I just you did. Yeah, he was talking this let's morning. Not,
sorry. Yeah, let's just do that. But no, JB reported it. It also took place in Florida. Did not take place in Columbia. It took place somewhere else. And so
that's what I was understanding. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. That's
halfway. Elite. That's halfway home. But yeah, it wasn't in Columbia. Yeah. So yeah, it's yeah, JB was all over that. They did meet, and that was the first time they've met in person. So you know, a lot of folks have said there's been an interview and all this stuff. There's been Zoom meetings, but that was the first time Jeremiah Donati and everybody sat down. So that's, and that was that. So we will see what happens. Quantrill says, is it the best job on campus compared to football? I think it is because they've been there, right? What do you guys think, Matt?
Yeah, it's got the history.
The best job on campus.
Now, I think it's the best job year over year, whoever the coach is. Like, you know what I mean? It's like whoever replaces Don Staley eventually, like how good is the South Carolina job going to be at that time? Like, baseball's top 15 job in the country. Some could argue higher. Yeah, it's the best job. I mean, football, you probably get paid the most amount of money, and you're in the toughest conference.
So, maybe it is the best job. You know? But, no, I think with Dawn Staley, too, though, certainly her name and her success, she attracts players. I mean, great ones, right? Recruits. As well as anybody, and is a great coach too on game day on the floor. There are some things though she has built while she's here that will make it a much more attractive job than it was when she took it. Namely, what's in the trophy case. It's easy to recruit to the trophy case. And then number two, she's built such a loyal following fan base wise. That subsection of the fan base is rabid. And you know, South Carolina, I believe, leads the whole country in attendance for women's basketball. The road crowds, even all the way out in Phoenix, are massive. The program has celebrities that follow it. It gets a lot of support. That is a great job. You always talk about team program job. It's the best program on campus. Most years, it's the best team on campus. Job. You know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully she's here for a long time,
though. I think, you know, this is far, far reaching, JC. And I don't know if you want to go here, but I think she'll be similar to Coach K at Duke, where she'll still be around. You know, I don't see her moving back to Philly, put it that way. Like, I think, you know, maybe she likes Virginia, but she'll still be around, and she will want to see her legacy continued at South Carolina. She doesn't want South Carolina to fall off the map. So she'll be helpful for her entire life for South Carolina, more so than even Spurrier, who still gives money, the practice facility, all that. Don Staley will be around.
Billy said if athletes in college make $100,000 or more, make them pay for their education, they want big more money. Well, yeah, that's a good point. It's not going to happen. So I don't want to talk about all that today.
Still college athletes, man. They got to get their free education too.
We love you, Billy. So there's that. Jay Diz makes a point. Landon Powell, Thornwell, Connor Shaw, all tough as nails. Last 2 years of baseball, they look nervous and tight. The good teams under Ray would kick you in the teeth. Yeah, they would. They would. Cocky Lids mentions about Forbes, third coach out of the last four with UNC ties for South Carolina baseball. Well, don't think about that.
Yeah. But
Chad Holbrook, Mark Kingston, it gets lost that he was a North Carolina player that played for Chapel Hill at the College World Series. And then if it's Forbes, obviously he's been an assistant. He's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Mostly as an assistant. Now he's not a North Carolina graduate. He played for former Tar Heel coach Mark Fox at North Carolina Wesleyan. And yes, Mark Fox, who a lot of success at UNC, came directly from North Carolina Wesleyan. So if you're worried about Schnall coming from Coastal Carolina, North Carolina Wesleyan's a much smaller place. Mark Fox turned out all right, right? So Quantrill says he's in the minority, but he thinks they're gonna hire a dude regardless. He's not tripping. If I see Dusty Baker or Buck Showalter's name pop up, I'm concerned. Or Jim Leland.
Hey, don't forget, Forbes came from Wesleyan too.
He did. That's where he played.
Yeah.
He was an assistant there.
Crazy.
Bring back the old school coach flicking lung darts in the dugout. Yeah, that was Jim Leland. I remember he was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates when they ran into the Braves in those early years. Pirates are really good. Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla.
Mm-hmm.
Two players that would go on to be pretty infamous for other reasons.
That's right.
But the Bobby, you know, in
baseball, the Mets are still playing
Bobby Bonilla Day. You know, Bobby Bonilla.
That's coming up, isn't that July 1st?
Bonilla Day. And then you go get some million five, and then Bonds, of course. But, you know, Ethan says I don't think bringing in a former major leaguer on staff would be the worst idea. There are a lot of good ones looking for jobs. Probably not. Dexter says, I know Schnall's the leader, but I agree with Ethan that the gut says Sabins or Reed would be a better fit. I don't have a strong opinion on that either way. I'll let you guys determine that and tell me why. Because I think they're all pretty good, all really good.
All these coaches are still hungry. Like, I mean, I could see a guy getting his break, you know, like a Schuyler Mead or a Sabins getting their break at South Carolina, their big head coaching break. And, you know, Schnall has experienced the top of the mountain almost. But all these guys are competitive. All these guys are hungry. Fit. I mean, I think you're kind of saying that you think that, you know, Sabins is known as a relentless recruiter. I can't say that Schnall is known as that, but Schnall is a good recruiter and has a system and develops players. Meade's a great recruiter, great connector in the locker room. He'd be fantastic in that regard too. You know, Steve Forbes as or Scott Forbes has
been Steve Forbes.
Wow,
Forbes has been a great recruiter in North Carolina, and you know you're recruiting that North Carolina name, but at the same time you're recruiting the South Carolina name. You're just going a little south. You're still recruiting the same guys.
So, South Carolina's always recruited North Carolina well. He's got a few South Carolina kids on his team too.
Mm-hmm.
So does Steve Sabins. Ethan says, I think it's either Schnall, Sabins, or Meade. Forbes and Holiday don't seem realistic to me. Well, Forbes, I mean, you know, look, you got a guy that's winning at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It seems unrealistic, but I think it's – I would disagree that at this point it's unrealistic. Will he take it? You know, it'd be quite a get, but I think South Carolina's done what it could do to make it an attractive position for everyone. I believe Holiday would probably crawl on his belly through glass to get the job, just because of Oklahoma State's scholarship situation. I mean, I can't believe really that we're here in 2026 and there's Big 12 schools that care about baseball. I mean, we want to know why.
Right.
Kansas and West Virginia are winning that league now. Well, Oklahoma State, which has been one of the more successful, tradition-rich baseball programs in the Big, what's left of the Big 12, they only give 11.7 scholarships. Texas Tech, as much money as they spend out there, and they changed it after this past year because they had a losing season, 11.7 scholarships. How are you supposed to compete with anybody that way?
Yeah.
You know? Cockweed says, going from the morning show's bumper music to this show is like changing from TNN to MTV in 1996.
Yeah,
probably so.
It is.
Probably so.
It is.
So, Micah does not want South Carolina in the Super League of 24 teams. It's not. That's not going to happen. I don't think Carolina would make the cut. Maybe barely make the cut. Why? The cannon fodder. So I don't think there's going to be a 24-team Super League. I think it'd be a disaster because you put all those top programs up there. Somebody's got to start taking L's, man.
It's like the Premier League in soccer. Like, yeah, you get regulated.
These people that want to compare college football to English soccer, European soccer, are just beyond stupid.
Yeah, it's zero sense.
Like, why don't we? And I understand. Look, and I say that admitting I'm not a European soccer fan, and I know some people really, really love it and are. And that's, I'm not making fun of your fandom. I'm just saying, don't take those. That doesn't apply. That's a foreign country and a pro league. This is American college athletics. Well, think hard about what makes American college athletics special, and then get back to me. Okay.
Well, I think on top of that, like, I don't think you're going to see even, like, let's say a Florida State, a team who hasn't, you know, they won a national championship in the recent past, but you go to a Super League, all of a sudden you're the Vanderbilt or the South Carolina or the Mississippi State of that league. Like, you're
worse. You know, and you're a team with great pride and tradition, and you're going to hang a 2-10 up every year. Cause there's no, like, the NFL, people say NFL. Well, the rules in the NFL make it to where the Jacksonville Jaguars can be god-awful 1 year, and 2 years later, they're in the playoffs. That's right. How they do their scheduling, their draft, their salary structure. It's all designed for parity, okay? Mm-hmm. College football is not designed for parity at all. So there you go. You're not getting the NFL. Somebody's going to get in a rut, and they're not used to it. It's not gonna matter. And I doubt they do that, too. That would be awful.
No, and I don't think it would be a single super league either. I mean, I, you got to have two
schools.
Yeah.
I think there's eight schools tops that think that's a good idea. There are all these big brands, and they see dollar signs. And if they want to go do that, we can watch them on Saturdays afternoons, too. And the rest of everybody else will have a good time and have fun.
Yeah, we'll watch our team.
Not fun. And then who's going to play them other than your seven super teams? I mean,
they're just gonna play each other.
And I'm gonna tell you this, they may get all the talent, but
okay,
it doesn't matter because there's always another football player out there. I mean, you know, it's that close. You're still gonna have the majority of NFL draft picks coming from that next tier, the common sense tier. So,
and coaches don't want to do that either. They'll get fired
really quickly. West Virginia starting pitcher is from Boiling Springs, pitched at Newberry last year. One of the big problems created by Carolina hiring someone like Paul Maneri that doesn't fit South Carolina. Yeah, I noticed that. He's their starter for the Binghamton game in the regional.
Yep.
I guess he's starting today. He is from Boiling Springs, home of the Bulldogs. Was at Newberry last year, was the freshman of the year in that conference, and then went to West by God, Virginia.
Maybe he'll enter the transfer portal and be a Gamecock next year.
Maybe so. Bruin said, someone said, Cornblute said last night on a show that Saban's had already turned down the job. Nobody's turned down the job.
Yeah.
No one's been offered the
job. And I don't know that Phil said that because somebody said something. It's like, you know, I would say this, though. Like, there's a difference between turning down the job or saying, hey, you know, I really don't want to continue to talk because I want to stay at West Virginia. Turning down the job infers he was the number one pick and that everybody struck out and that's it. And then it's like recruiting. Oh, we lost our top choice. No, Steve Sabins has never been the top choice for this job. Period. Quantrill says the Bears are going to Indiana officially, and on the front page of Pardon My Take is a photo of Kevin Warren walking in triumph. Well, good for him.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, I think, look, that Indiana site's right. It's right. Literally, you go through a stoplight from the south side of Chicago, and you're in Hammond, and that's where the stadium's going to be. It's right there. I mean, it's dumb. You know, it's just they're just going to take advantage of the Indiana business laws. So
yeah, it's like MetLife. It's probably closer than MetLife is to downtown, or than Manhattan, if you will, in New York, right?
Yeah. X-Man said if they did a super conference, I think they'd be forced to do a relegation style season. But who's going to go? Who's going to come up, though? I mean, who would sign up for that?
Yeah. If,
let's say you're Florida. I mean, not Florida. Florida would probably make it. Like, let's say you're Houston. Ole Miss. No, not even Tennessee. Yeah. Could be. I mean, depending on how large the Super League is, are you really going to go, all right, yeah, we'll come up and play with y'all this year?
There's a reason that Arsenal, and I'm not a fan, so I don't really know, but like there's a reason like Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United, Real Madrid are like the teams that win that thing every year. Like the teams that get relegated up, they don't win. They're just excited to be there. Like they're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mike says those 8 to 12 programs want to act like the Aztec Empire. They want all the programs to be sacrificed to them, enslaved, all that good stuff. Well, I mean, that's true, but they don't really have – I don't think there's 12 programs out there that have that kind of pull. And if you think about it, too, here's the problem, Micah, with them trying to pull anything like that. They're not all on the same page. Most of them hate each other.
Right. They can't agree on anything.
Georgia doesn't care what Notre Dame has to say, and Alabama doesn't care what Georgia – I mean, it's not, they'll never be on the same page. Here's the other thing about the ratings and stuff, because everybody's like, well, these teams get all the ratings, the good ones. Now look, the folks that say the SEC draws 40% of the ratings and gets 27% of the total TV money, and that's unfair, I agree with that. Because your conference in general is facilitating that. And you even look at some South Carolina games last year, high ratings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, 4-18. But what's going to – the teams that – so you're getting this thing like, all right, everybody wants to watch us. We're just going to do it ourselves. And, all right, so let's talk about Florida State, since I think they would get a ticket to the dance because of their brand. Never mind their dysfunctional and all that. No, Florida State gets a ticket to the dance. Florida State, of the 8 super teams that we see every – they're, by God, they're worse than they were between the time they were all female teachers college and Bobby Bowden being hired. Awful. God awful. Like worse than the Lee Corso era in Tallahassee, which they almost are now. Who's going to watch them? Because over time, folks like myself and Quantrill and everybody that remember the glory days and Sphere and all, kind of like, you know, respect what Florida State's all, they're going to become like the LA Clippers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not going to watch Florida State and Michigan if both teams suck.
Well, that's why the NFL works, because JC's point earlier, the parody of it, the NBA has no parody. Like truthfully, like the teams have their run, like the Warriors. They linger for a little bit at the bottom of the standings, maybe get into the playing. And that's why the NBA has the NBA playoff playing game. Like they're just trying to generate buzz around their bottom teams. And then all these teams are tanking for the number one pick each year. And ESPN had an article the other day that showed the study of like the past, like 15 years, teams with top 5 picks don't rise up because they're getting all these 19-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids get that rookie contract. And then they go to another team. They go somewhere else.
Yeah, Micah makes a great point. Ratings change with success. They do. Yeah. Why, I mean, like there's some schools, like Notre Dame has a big national fan base. Okay, so why? Because they've been good for 100 years. Okay, they have their own TV. There's Notre Dame people that all over the country that pull for them, plus their connection with the Catholic Church. Same with BYU. BYU has tons of good ratings because it's a national. The rest of it's not. I mean, people are still watching Alabama right now because we're coming off the greatest dynasty in the history of the sport. Everybody knows it. Alabama under Bill Curry didn't get those kind of ratings. Alabama, you know, people are watching Georgia right now, you know. I mean, it's dumb how they do it because things change. And what happens is you mash everybody together, make them play each other. Someone has to lose. And all of these schools you're mentioning, they don't like to lose.
No.
They don't like to go 5-7 and it be a really good year. And they spend $60 million on a roster. Wait till that starts happening. I mean, nobody's thought this through. It's stupid. It's insane. So, Micah says, why don't the people who run the sport understand what makes college sports special? Because there's really nobody running the sport.
Yeah, there's nobody running the rudder, anything.
It's a ghost ship, man.
Yeah.
It's a ghost ship. But, oh, Bobby mentions Cole from West Virginia has a Palmetto flag on his glove. Tells you he loves his home state. Hopefully he'll come to the Gamecocks next year. Is he a senior? Is that the outfielder? Or is that the pitcher?
I think that's the pitcher, isn't it?
Hold on. I don't remember. My stepson's name's Cole. So anyway. All right, we got to get out of here. Matt, any final thoughts?
Looking forward to Sunday night. I'll be at camp again all next week. Look, you know, there were some fun prospects that are at these Shane Beamer kind of individual camps, but it's not O-line, D-line. It's not 7-on-7. So 7-on-7 is what gets my blood pumping. Like, that's where it gets fun. That's where you see the athleticism really shine. So I'll be out there all next week. I will say there, and JC, we can touch on this briefly, but they had a stud quarterback in the 28 class in Carter Zingelman, and we'll see if the Gamecocks and Kendall Briles can use some Texas connections there and see if they can get more in the game. But that dude was a stud. Best quarterback I've ever seen at camp. So I'm looking forward to camp next week. I'm trying to get details right now how my South Lawrence Bruins are doing at 7-on-7. They got regulated to not the indoor. They're on one of the proving grounds on the side, which is a little bit of a walk. So all my contacts there right now are trying not to brave the heat. So I got to get an update on South Lawrence.
The heat is on. All right, folks, it's been a good week. Pump the brakes on this baseball thing. You may see a YouTube video and a special bonus podcast, possibly. Yep. I would say likely.
And Cole is the Chanson Cole is the right hand pitcher. He does
last name Cole. Okay.
Yeah, he's got the South Carolina flag right there on his glove.
Bowling Springs, man. Spartanburg County.
Sophomore.
Spartanburg County, baby. All right, for the late night game cut, Matt Anderson, for the Mad Dog Football and Access, JC Sherbert. You guys have a great weekend. This has been Inside the Gamecocks, the show portion. Hope we're maybe talking about a new baseball coach for Monday, folks. That'll be a lot of fun to do. If not, we'll just keep going. It'll be like a death march for 2 weeks.
Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, man. All right. See you later, folks.
See ya.